The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Folks, welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. They say it's a thin line between love and hate, but we're working every day to thicken that line, or at least make it a double or triple line. Now, here's your line-jumping host, Eric Metaxas!
Folks, we interrupt this program to bring you part of the program. It's called Ask Metaxas. People like you write in.
They do.
And my staff picks out some questions. Albin, you will ask the question. I will try to answer it.
Oh, I'm honored. Here we go. Question number one. Hello, my name is Jennifer. I wanted to ask you if you would have advice for me on public speaking. I have been asked to speak at my graduation on June 10th, something I never thought I would ever do, as I've struggled with anxiety my whole life, and I was diagnosed with an anxiety disorder called selective mutism when I was young. Due to high levels of anxiety, this disorder may be incapable of speaking outside my home. So speaking at my graduation is a very big deal for me, something I would never be able to do without God helping me overcome my anxiety. So I was wondering if you had any advice for me, as you do a lot of public speaking. I hope you can I can come to hear you again sometime. I've had the privilege of hearing you speak at a meeting you were at twice at Westgate Chapel. I gave you a little elephant that I brought home from Thailand the last time you spoke there. Thank you, Jennifer.
Well, this is an easy one. I was terrified of public speaking. First of all, you got to define public speaking. Speaking extemporaneously, that's difficult. But there is no reason, if you're asked to give a speech at a graduation, and this was certainly what I did when I began public speaking, you can write the whole thing down and read it. And that's actually what I would recommend if you are, especially if you're nervous or, you know, you're not doing this often. The more you do it, the more comfortable you are. That's a fact. For me, that's a fact. So I am now uncomfortable not speaking publicly. But if you, if you're worried, just write it down and you can practice it and you can time yourself and stuff. But I would write the whole thing down. I spoke at my high school graduation. And I just wrote out the speech, and I read the speech. I think that's the way to deal with this. And the more you do these things, the more comfortable you will become. But my advice would be, in this case, to write the speech out and to deliver it that way.
Great. Question number two. I understand that you're putting together a study guide for Letter to the American Church. When and where will it be available?
Yes, that's false. We are not putting together a study guide for Letter to the American Church. We have put it together.
Yay!
It is together.
Woo!
And it is available either at SocratesInTheCity.com or at Amazon. It is the study guide, the official study guide for Letter to the American Church. A lot of people are doing the book in home groups or whatever. And so this is a short study guide designed to go along with it, which I have approved. So
yes.
The answer is yes, it's true. It exists. And please, if you're doing it, studying the book in a group, this can help you.
Good. There was an attempt, this is question number three, to rewrite the language, the training guidelines in my field with a push to diversity, equity, and inclusion, as well as on my own employment. I was attending a church, a Lutheran one, Sunday, and while preparing for communion, I noticed that the header, Agnus Dei, for the prayer. I have seen that my whole life. The acronym DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, and the Latin word for God are the same. This is also being integrated throughout organizations nationally, DEI. And I was wondering what your thoughts are on regarding this as a possible demonic attempt to integrate this nomenclature into the very fabric of our organizational documents to supplant God. Thank you.
Well, DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion is evil. It's bad on every level. We don't have time to go into it right now. But all this DEI stuff is nonsense. And anyone who can resist it, I would urge you to resist it. I heard that Chick-fil-A has a diversity, equity, and inclusion division or officer. I would write a letter to Chick-fil-A, or I wouldn't even eat at Chick-fil-A until they rescind this nonsense. DEI is just Marxist globalist lunacy. Whether it has anything to do with the Latin word for God, Dei, is another story. I wouldn't worry about that. The thing itself is bad enough.
Eric, you want to read this next question?
Yeah, this is a long one.
Big.
I'm going to read this. Okay, somebody says, Eric, you were struggling to answer the question of a listener on specifics of what to do to help the country. Every single community has serious grassroots movements afoot within their area. This is what people must search out in order to make a tangible difference in an American civics-oriented and self-governing fashion. I agree with this, which is why I wanted to read it. It says, for example, the patriotic people in my county in Montana gather at the local GOP headquarters. This is not run by the political RNC, thank goodness, but local grassroots and patriotic citizens. Per capita, their weekly public meetings have grown quite large. From this have sprouted effective and active groups confronting election fraud issues, kung flu tyranny. I like that. I think, Albin, you said I once called it the flim-flam-demic.
Yes.
Or the kung flu pandemic.
Pandemic, yeah.
From this local group have sprouted campaigns against all manner of local problems and much more. Information is being proliferated. I don't know if that's the right verb, but I understand. And politicians are being challenged and vetted while grassroots politicians are rising up from within. This, above all else, is what I would recommend. Find your local gathering of civically active Americans in your community, which are possibly gathering under the GOP banner. If they're operating under a different banner, search them out because they are no doubt out there. You'll begin to find out what you can do. I agree with that, that there are local organizations, and it's always important, if possible, to get involved on a local level. When I was at Jack Hibbs's church recently, they have something, which I am so excited about this. I'm glad I just remember this. RealImpact.us is the website. They are helping to train churches. They are helping to train churches to get involved politically. Folks, the best thing would be that this would come out of the churches. That would be the absolute best thing. And because I can't think of anything else right now, I will direct you to the best thing I can think of, which is realimpact.us. I have to say, when I met the woman, Gina, who's running this, when I was at Huntington Beach, I was so impressed. I couldn't even believe that they had gotten this far. So this is Jack Hibbs's church in Chino Hills, California. But this initiative is called realimpact.us. And I am glad, very glad I remembered to remind my listeners that if your church doesn't know about this, the idea that Jack Hibbs and company have done the work and they can help you to get involved, this is our future. And if it's not this, we have no future as a country. So I want to be really clear to respond to what this person, Brandon from Montana, has written. One of the best things you can do is to do it through your church. RealImpact.us is the website that we were just referring to, RealImpact.us. I can't stress it enough. I need to mention it more in the program because what they've done is just astounding. Obviously, I also want to mention TPUSA Faith has great resources. It's really important that these folks are rising up, TPUSA Faith and RealImpact.us.
Okay, here's another really good political question. Can anything good come out of this feud between Trump and DeSantis as we head into the presidential election of 2024?
Can anything good come out of it? Yeah. Sure. Why not? Bad things can also come out of it. I have to say that I think I've said this before. I wish DeSantis weren't running just because I know that Trump's instinct seems to be to crush anybody who who dares goes against him, which I don't love. I just have to say, folks, that whoever ends up being the GOP nominee, we have to unite very strongly with them, and we have to be careful not to allow the process of these primaries to harm the country. So I just think we have to be careful. And there are people viciously against Trump. There are people viciously against DeSantis. I don't think that's the way to go, folks. I don't think so. I think either of them would make a wonderful alternative to whatever the Dems are going to put up. We're out of time. Thanks for listening. I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of iconic American brands selling us out to appease radical leftists. But it's not just beer and sneakers. For years, big mobile companies have been dumping millions into leftist causes, and we had to take it because another option didn't exist. Well, now it does. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks so you get the best possible service in your area without the woke propaganda pushed by people trying to destroy this country. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Metaxas, M-E-T-A-X-A-S, or call them 978-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Metaxas, spelled M-E-T-A-X-A-S. Ask about their coverage guarantee while you're there. That's patriotmobile.com/Metaxas. Legacy Precious Metals has a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. You have access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. The platform is free to sign up for. Visit legacypminvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but different asset classes. This new platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with a few clicks. Visit legacypminvestments.com to get started. You're going to love this free new tool they've added, legacypminvestments.com, legacypminvestments.com. Check it out. Welcome back. This is the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm Eric Metaxas, and my guest today is Ken Fish. It's spelled Fish, F-I-S-H. What could be simpler? Who has a brand new book out, a new book, your first book. I'm so glad. Congratulations. It's called On the Road with the Holy Spirit, A Modern Day Diary of Signs and Wonders. You were just talking about this conference that's happening in October. Now, you do tons of conferences, and people who look you up, there's all kinds of places they can find you and see you and be involved in your ministry. But this is a particularly interesting conference because it seems to be, you just mentioned, it's almost like a scientific conference where you're gathering different people together hoping to achieve something. In other words, to achieve some kind of consensus. And what this reminds me of, I talk about this a lot, but when we're talking about the spiritual world, it really is, we're talking about reality. We're not talking about something that's separate from reality. We're talking about reality. And what it reminds me of, as I've watched you do ministry and others, you realize that there's this invisible realm. We have some access to it. And it reminds me of somebody like in the 18th century doing experiments and trying to figure out what's the nature of this invisible reality. Are there these things called atoms? How do they interact with each other? We can't see them, but we do experiments and we're noticing trends and patterns and we can begin to develop theories. And the more information we have and the more ability we have to look into this, You know, the less invisible it becomes. We begin to see these connections until you end up with a periodic table and you end up with all this kind of stuff. It's called reality. So some people would say, well, that's science and this is the opposite of science. I would say, no, that's precisely incorrect. We're dealing with reality. Some reality is invisible reality. I can't see the atoms. Well,
reality.
I mean, my goodness, yeah. I can't see the atoms, you know, in this table. But the fact is that that's mostly what fascinates me about this. So it's exciting to me that you're thinking along these lines and that you have, you know, this quantum physics genius, Putty Putman, going to be at this conference in Nashville in October, because it's important that we communicate that idea that this is not some separate religious reality. No, this is part of reality.
This is the world we live in.
This is reality.
Yeah, that's yeah. Right. Yeah. I like to say that this is the supernaturally natural or the naturally supernatural. You could say it either way, but
yeah.
This is the idea that we're after. When we talk about all of this, you know, we think of the proverb that says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. So I believe that the world is obviously a very complex place, and we could say beyond that, the universe. But what is it that humans are always doing? We're always inquiring. We're always learning. We're always, as it were, reaching for the stars. We're trying to understand the world around us. And I think that it's the intention of the Lord that the mysteries of the kingdom of God would be revealed to us. Jesus put it this way, "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." So I think our Father takes great delight in revealing or helping us discover, either way, these things that have hitherto been hidden and concealed. And so to me, this is an ongoing part of the story of God revealing his kingdom to us. And I really think that what's going to be one of the fruits of this conference, but it should really be part of what we all are doing in our Christian lives, is I believe there are successive levels by which God reveals himself. And generally, you don't get this level until you've kind of, you know, gotten this one. And mostly that involves obedience to what you've already been taught by the Lord. Where do we learn the most? From the Word of God. But we do have our own experiences with God where he teaches us and leads us. Isaiah spoke of a time when you would hear a voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." So when we look at the life of Jesus, we have this odd verse in Mark chapter 6, verse 5, and it says, "When Jesus came to Nazareth, he could do no mighty works there, no works of power." And this is really the word that we use for miracles. He could do none of them in Nazareth because of their unbelief. Now, unbelief is more than "I don't believe." It is that, but there's more to it than that. It's more nuanced and complex. Jesus had grown up in Nazareth. He had, shall we say, a checkered reputation, as did his mother and father, in a time when generally people didn't sleep together before marriage. Mary had gotten pregnant before there was a marriage ceremony. Everybody knew it, so there was a sort of taint about, well, Joseph and Mary, you know, they couldn't keep themselves from each other. And, of course, Jesus then becomes essentially the illegitimate son of that union, or so it was believed. I don't believe that, just to be clear for any listeners. I believe in the virgin birth. But to the outside observer, there was this taint and this sort of dismissal of Jesus. This, oh, yeah, he's the son of that those two. And with that, when Jesus came to Nazareth, he couldn't do any mighty works. He couldn't do any works of power. He couldn't
do any
miracles.
Even this leads us to a principle, right? In other words, we think that, well, Jesus could do anything. No, we created in God's image, are allowed by God to participate in what happens. And
that's
so
right.
If we bring unbelief, God can't punch through that. He won't. He does what he does. But it's a fascinating concept that Jesus goes to Nazareth and is unable to do what he could do in other places.
That's correct.
That's a fascinating just data point.
That's right. And so it says that because he could do no mighty works, no miracles, he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And you go, wait a minute, what? First of all, it's hard enough to believe Jesus couldn't do miracles. But okay, set that one aside. What do you mean he just laid his hands on a few sick people? A lot of us are going, if I could get my sore back healed, or I could get healed of depression or whatever, that would be enough, right? But Jesus is operating at this sort of degraded level or this reduced level because of that environmental factor where they won't receive who he is and the ministry that he brings. And then, so we see healing, but then we see miracles, which are apparently higher or better or a step beyond mere healing. It's a different gift of the Holy
Spirit.
Okay,
so it's saying he couldn't do miracles or whatever that word is there.
Dunamis. It's the works of power in Greek.
Dynamis. So where we get dynamite power. But he could do some healings. Mm-hmm. So there's a hierarchy.
That's correct. And then when we look at Paul's ministry in Ephesus, this is found in Acts chapter 19, it says that God did extraordinary miracles through Paul. So that seems to be yet beyond miracles. So there's some kind of a tiering here. I think you could get into trouble if you said some things and not others to qualify them. But just from these basic concepts that I've described out of Mark 6, 5 and Acts 19, I believe it's 11, where it talks about the extraordinary miracles, we see healings, miracles, extraordinary miracles. So part of what I want to see happen out of Fusion, but again, this should be the journey that all of us are on with the Lord, is that over time we go from, as it says elsewhere, one degree of glory to another. We should go higher up and deeper in. We should see more breakthroughs that are more profound. And some of the healings that I just described for you, whether the woman with the tumors or what happened in Scotland, these are, well, they're beyond things that maybe we would have seen 10 or 15 years ago.
Right.
And so the Lord is leading us into a, I don't know what we want to say, a more pronounced and dramatic manifestation of his kingdom in these times in which we live, because the church is the first line of defense for the darkness in the world.
Well, I have to say that I'm tracking with this, and I have had numerous miracles in my own life, nothing like what you describe, because you move in this practically routinely. But when you've experienced a bona fide miracle, and I don't mean you think it's a miracle, I mean when you really know, it changes things. You just suddenly say, well, there's no going back. You know, it's like if I see Bigfoot and I can smell Bigfoot, I'm going to be, I got problems now, because I've seen and smelled this thing that people say, we don't know if it exists. Now, just to be clear with my audience, no, I have not seen Bigfoot. but I dated his cousin, and let me tell you, it wasn't worth the... No, I guess there are life-changing things. And so when you do experience a miracle, or when you see a miracle, or when you see a demon cast out, and you know... It really does change things, and so that's why I want to invite people to be open to this stuff, to look into this stuff. Check out Ken's ministry, OrbisMinistries.org. People can follow you on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And of course, once again, congratulations on the brand-new book, On the Road with the Holy Spirit, Modern Day Diary of Signs and Wonders by Ken Fish. We'll be right back with more. Don't go away.
So very far behind. Just let me wake up in the morning to the smell of newborn hay, to laugh and cry, to live and die in the brightness of my day. I want to hear.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful at lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Just the other night, I was asked that question. Well, the owners of Relief Factor tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. That's right, designed to heal, and I agree with them. And the doctors who formulated Relief Factor for them selected the four best ingredients, yes, 100% drug-free ingredients, and each one of them helps your body deal with inflammation. Each of the four ingredients deals with inflammation from a different metabolic pathway. That's the point. So approaching from four different angles may be why so many people find such wonderful relief. If you've got back pain, shoulder, neck, hip, knee, or foot pain from exercise, or just getting older, you should order the 3-week quick start discounted to only $19.95 to see if it'll work for you. It has worked for about 70% of the 500,000 people who've tried it and have ordered more. I'm one of them. Go to relieffactor.com or call 800-4-RELIEF to find out about this offer. Feel the difference.
Are you tired of not getting a good night's sleep? Well, my friend Mike Lindell has created the perfect solution. He didn't just stop at the pillow. He also created the Giza Dream Bed Sheets. Made from the world's best cotton called Giza, these sheets are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. And now for a limited time, you can get 50% off the Giza Dream Sheets with prices starting as low as $29.98. These sheets come in a variety of sizes and colors and have a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Metaxas at checkout. You can also find deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the MyPillow 2.0 mattress topper and MyPillow towel sets. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Take advantage of this amazing offer. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square and use promo code Eric at checkout. Don't wait any longer to get the best sleep of your life. Call 800-978-3057 or go to MyPillow.com now and use promo code Eric. Welcome back. We're talking to Ken Fish, my friend Ken Fish, brand new book, very exciting. When we're talking about these things, we're often talking about several things at once, right? We're talking about, I've seen you do what you do, I've seen others do these things, where God will speak to you, give you a word, a rhema word of knowledge, some sense of what's going on with the person for whom you're praying. Not always the case, but often the case. These things work together. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, so in the book, I talk about these five P's, and one of them is prophecy, which for some is not obvious because they tend to think of healing, miracles, deliverance, as being somewhat different. Again, back to the idea of the fusion conference, this is part of what we're exploring. But one of the things I found in my own journey on the road with the Holy Spirit was that prophetic words were actually very important. And I believe prophecy is normally on the leading edge of awakening, outpouring, and revival. For example, we see in the reform of Josiah in the Old Testament, Josiah had been going at it for a bit, and God raised up none other than the prophet Jeremiah to work right alongside of him. Or when we look at the restoration of Israel after the exile, when they've come back to rebuild first the temple and sometime later the walls of Jerusalem, we have the prophets Haggai and Zechariah working alongside of the political leader whose name was Zerubbabel. And so we have biblical examples of this, and of course the most profound and obvious of all is we have John the Baptist as a prophet on the leading edge of the release of Jesus' ministry. So prophecy has many dimensions to it. It can be personal, it can have words of knowledge and things like that in it, but it can also be something that, as it were, becomes like the astrolabe or the guiding principle, the thing that we chart the North Star with, as we go about the work God has given us to do.
Okay, so are you referring one way or the other to what we call, more recently, what we see as this prophetic movement? There seems to have been an uptick in the last few years, really, maybe since, I don't know, 2015 or 16, more and more prophetic voices. Not all equal, some right. Maybe sloppy or
inaccurate.
Others pretty accurate and amazing. But even the concept of that is very foreign to people, and many people are, like, if not skeptical, maybe openly hostile to the concept of it because it can be, it can seem weird, even
That's
weirder
correct.
Than healing and deliverance.
That's correct. That's exactly right. So one of the stories that happened during the interval covered by this book is in 2011, I was speaking at a gathering of pastors in Melbourne, Australia, and there was maybe 75 or 80 people in that meeting. And during one of the breaks, a pastor walked up to me. He was an Anglican priest, and he said, "Hi, I'm so-and-so, and you know, I'm an Anglican priest, and I have a man in my church who has quite an accurate prophetic gift. He called me this morning as I was preparing to leave to come over here, and he told me that he had a word for the speaker at the meeting, and I was to deliver it for him." And he said, so that's why I'm talking to you. And I said, okay. I said, so what was the word? He said, well, this fellow was praying, and he saw a map of Australia, but it was kind of yellowish-brown overtones, sepia tones, we might say. And as he was looking at the map, he saw these points of light all around the outer perimeter of Australia. Now, for those who don't know, most of Australia is arid desert, not really usable, arable land. It's good for mining and other things, but it's not useful for, you know, farming and drawing water and so forth. Most of the land in Australia that is usable that way is within maybe 100 miles or so of the coast, and then after that, not so much. So he saw these points of light all around the perimeter of the country, but they got brighter and brighter, and they burst into flame, and then the flames merged, and it became like a ribbon of fire around the nation, around the perimeter of the nation. And as he was looking at it, he saw 2014 across the face of the map, and then he said to me, what do you suppose that means? Now, this was 2011 when this occurred. I said, I suppose that means we have 3 years to get ready. And that really became, as it were, a guiding principle for me in what was going on during that period of what I have often called the Australian outpouring or the Australian awakening. And with it, I became quite intentional about trying to get to the next town, the next city. I never asked for any invitations. I simply prayed and asked God to open the doors, and he did. And over time, I made a circuit all the way around the outer perimeter of the country. And with it, the Lord spread, we could say, the fires of awakening or revival all around the nation. And so, you know, Paul says to Timothy that Timothy needed to call to mind the prophecies given to him in order that by those prophecies he could fight the good fight of faith. So prophecy can strengthen us. It can give us a sense of guidance, a bit of direction. So what was interesting to me was that this Anglican priest was delivering a word that a guy in his church had gotten for me without meeting me.
Yeah.
And I myself had seen that vision in prayer.
When had you seen it?
About 2 days before.
When were you going to reveal that to us, Ken? We're out of time in this section. In the future, I'd like you to set up the joke properly. You say, here's what I saw. That's pretty important, Ken.
Yeah, it's very
important.
So
you're telling me that this guy gives you a word, not knowing that 2 days before you got the same image, word by the Holy Spirit. That's called confirmation. We'll be right back talking to Ken Fish.
From up and down and still somehow it's cloud delusions I recall. I really don't know cloud.
Hey, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, come on, get a rhythm. When you get the blues, get a rock and roll.
Welcome back. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. And I'm talking to my guest, Ken Fish. So, Ken, you are just sharing something that happened in 2011 where you didn't reveal things until the end of the story. But so you're saying that you show up someplace and an Anglican priest comes up to you and says, somebody in my church who has this tremendous prophetic gift said he had a word for the speaker. You're the speaker. Let me deliver the word. He tells you the word. And you just said that 2 days before that, God had independently, of course, given you the same image and picture.
That's correct. So, as you noted, it was a confirmation to me, but it was also, again, something by which I could fight the good fight of faith. I had a pretty clear sense at that point, I need to make my way not just to Melbourne, not just to Sydney, not just to Brisbane or Adelaide or Perth. There's all these, many of them are not very significant towns. They're small, and some of the stories in here come from a lot of those small towns around Australia.
Right.
I needed to find a way to get there in order that this, as it were, ribbon of fire could find its way around the perimeter of Australia. And one of the things I found in doing that was that awakening spreads most rapidly when there's a high degree of interconnection.
What do you mean?
Well, in the field of telecommunications, where I used to work as an executive, they have a saying, the power of a network is in the nodes. The more nodes in a network, the more robust and the more powerful that network is, the faster it can transmit data, whatever it may be.
Right.
Well, similarly, when you've got a high degree of interconnectivity between points of presence where the Spirit of God is moving here and here, and people in those two areas know each other, and then there's another one, and this one knows these guys and these guys, the more of that you have, the more rapidly revival and awakening propagate. That's actually why shows like this are so powerful, because there's hundreds of thousands of people that are listening, and we are spreading the message of God's kingdom. We're spreading the message that God is moving, and we're telling people to get ready. The move of God is underway. Well, I had a three-year warning. In 2014, this ribbon of fire would be completed. So I had 3 years to work hard, run hard, connect with people, build those bridges. And so while I can't make anything happen, I can make sure I'm not doing anything to hinder or go oppositional to that. And with it, I'm now collaborating with the Holy Spirit, and this releases great power. It releases great presence. And if it's bathed in prayer, we're going to see something that looks like a move of God that is profound and far-reaching. So these are keys to working with the Lord in awakening.
And so obviously that's what happened in Australia.
That's correct.
So Australia seems to have had a horrible time with the lockdowns and authoritarian government and all that kind of evil stuff that we hate to talk about but sometimes must on the program. But spiritually, you think that good things are happening nonetheless.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. I went back last year on my 100th trip to Australia in my lifetime, and there was a guy that I know. Now, to be clear, I knew him. This other story I just told, I didn't know the prophet at all, never met him. And I didn't know the priest either. He just delivered the word that the prophet had had. But in this story now from 2022, I knew a guy, and he has a strong prophetic gift, and he came to one of my meetings, and he gave me a word, and he said, you know, the Lord wants you to know that the seed that you scattered in that previous period, it seemed to have been lost through COVID and some of the other things that came up against the work of the Lord. He said, but God wants you to know he held back some of that seed in his bottle, and he's now scattering it again, and you will see an increase that will go beyond what you did in that time. Well, the trip last year was very encouraging to me and quite profound. But this year, as we're in 2023, what I've found is that many people with whom I'd lost contact, I literally didn't know where they'd gone to. They changed their cell phone numbers. They didn't have that email address anymore. A lot of those people have come out of the woodwork, and they're approaching me, and I'm finding this exploding demand for me to go back to Australia and hold meetings all around the country. And so, again, this idea of prophecy being something that gives us a sense of direction and purpose and focus is in play. And I'm going back to Australia in July of this year with a team, and I'm anticipating that great things are going to come of it. And I already have people clamoring for what I'm going to do in 24 and 25.
Well, since I don't live in Australia and we only have about a minute and a half left, any thoughts generally on what is happening in the United States? You don't have to. I just thought in case you do.
I do, and I could wax eloquent on this too, but I'll say briefly, in February, we crossed a line of demarcation. It was marked by the Super Bowl win. It was marked by the Asbury outpouring. It was marked by the release of the movie Jesus Revolution. Each of these is an important component of it, but together what they collectively tell us, and again, I could unpack this further, is that God changed the nature of the spiritual climate from January over to March, with February being the line of demarcation.
Not getting why you'd mention the Super Bowl.
Bob Jones, the prophet, had prophesied that when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl again, it would be the time when God was releasing what Bob called, it's kind of a metaphor, his apostolic chiefs, that God would raise up leaders in the body of Christ to lead, to shepherd, to promote, to drive this outpouring of the Spirit, this move of God. Bob also said there would be two winds. They would not be sequential, but they would be close together. So in 2020, exactly 50 years after the previous Chiefs Super Bowl win, the Chiefs won. That was the first one. The second one was this year in February 2023. And with that, there was – so if you want to say it this way, it's a mixing of metaphors. 2020 was like Casey's on deck, but in 2023, Casey's at bat. So now we've moved from football to baseball. But yeah, the same idea here. So in 2023, yeah, the win of the Chiefs in the Super Bowl is a major signpost.
And I just want to say, folks, if this sounds wacky to you, it sounds wacky to me. But I know enough to know that it's not wacky. But, you know, the idea that some prophet would say many years ago, who's going to win the Super Bowl, you think, like, what the – what? Who? What?
These are what we call signs,
right,
and wonders.
And so it's a little complicated. We don't really have time to unpack this stuff, but we'll just leave it there. Ken, once again, thanks for coming by. Thank you for your work on this book, brand-new book, On the Road with the Holy Spirit by Ken Fish. Thank you.
Thanks for having me, Eric. It's good to be with you.
Once there was a way to get back homeward, once there was a way.
Hey there, folks. This is an exciting day.
Oh,
both
boy.
Hours,
yeah,
talking to Ken Fish, mm-hmm, my dear friend, who has a brand new book out. I hope you'll get a copy, Ken Fish. That we've been talking about with Ken. I'm not sure which hour we're in right now, but wall to wall, Ken Fish.
Yeah.
And I got to mention this.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, I'm going to be in Denver speaking twice. Got to fly there today. Otherwise, I won't be there tomorrow. So I'm going to be in Denver tomorrow. If you want to know where and when I'm speaking and all the details, there's something called the Western Summit. That's in the evening. But I'm speaking in the middle of the day as well. All the details are at ericmetaxas.com. If you are in the Denver area or know someone who is and want to let them know about it, I'll be signing books, which is a joy for me to do. Please go to ericmetaxas.com. You can see my schedule coming up. I've been way too busy.
I know you have.
But
yeah.
It's slowing down temporarily, but I got to go to Denver today.
Yep. Mile high city. Mile high.
That's right.
Woo!
Mile high. And so tomorrow I'm speaking there twice. Again, the details are at ericmetaxas.com.
And sign up for that newsletter while you're there, please, folks.
When you get to ericmetaxas.com, something will pop right up. And I really do. There are so many things,
yeah,
that I simply cannot communicate via this radio program. We try to communicate them through the newsletter, which goes out once a week, sometimes twice, usually videos of these interviews that we do. And I want to say again that we rely on you to share these things. Part of where we are in the culture right now, there's a need for us to share information, because we know that the purveyors of information out there are either untrustworthy or downright evil.
Mm.
And so we need to spread what we can. So I'm on social media, but the easiest thing is for you to sign up to my website. Just go to ericmetaxas.com, sign up for the newsletter, and we will send you, for example, this lovely,
yeah,
2 hours, you know, not 2 full hours, but with Ken Fish today, which is really terrific. So I want to say that's important. I also want to say tomorrow on the program, we're airing the interview I did yesterday. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Hadley Arkus. Hadley Arkus is one of the finest legal minds ever.
Yeah.
He's an amazing, amazing man. Taught jurisprudence and the law at Amherst College, at Georgetown, and is just a tremendous mind and a tremendous person. I had the honor of dinner with him last night after the interview and just got to know him. And I just think he's such a delightful person.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled that tomorrow you get to hear my conversation with Hadley Arkus, A-R-K-E-S. Before we go, Albin, I should mention too, wherever your money is invested, folks, I always say spend your money in good places. Don't ever spend it at Target. Don't ever buy a Dodgers ticket. Don't ever spend a dime at Disney. Don't ever spend a dime at Anheuser-Busch. Spend money in good places. For example, mystore.com, mypillow.com. Use the code Eric. But also where you invest your money. Mm-hmm. I want to send you right now, please write this down, inspireadvisors.com/Eric. This is crucial. Inspireadvisors.com/Eric. It is free. It is wonderful. Inspireadvisors.com/Eric.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.